Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy and goodness that finds us here again in the house of the Lord tonight. And we pray, Lord, that tonight You'll please be pleased to be one of our number. Lord, give us help, Lord, in every part, every aspect, Lord, every detail of this meeting. May Thy name, the name of our Savior, be honored and glorified. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Our opening hymn, the words of Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, and let's sing it as unto the Lord. Maybe go back to that last verse. I meant to ask one of the elders to come and pray, open in prayer tonight. That is the customary thing we do the night before camp. So I'm going to ask Derek. He's the closest one. He's going to come and lead us in prayer tonight. and especially remember the work of summer camp as it starts tomorrow. We'll sing that last verse, and then Derek will come and lead us in prayer, please.
Gracious Father and our eternal God, tonight we would thank thee that we can approach thy throne of grace in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do thank thee afresh tonight for a wonderful Saviour. And truthfully we can say that the Lord, he died in our place and in our stead. And Lord, we have that great knowledge in our hearts that he paid the price in full. And gracious Father, as we are gathered here in this service this evening, and we would thank thee for thy presence. The presence of God is very real, and we thank thee for it. And we pray, Lord, that thou will come and visit this house this evening with salvation, that thou would exalt and glorify thy name through the salvation of precious souls. We pray, Lord, that thou indeed would glorify thy name in this gathering, for everything that is said and done will go down to thy honour. We pray, come, Holy Spirit, come and visit this place with thy power. O Lord, fill this congregation with thy glory this evening. Reveal thyself to us, we ask of thee. And fill thy servant as he ministers the word with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Give him help from heaven, we ask of thee. Grant, O God, that he will know even the touch of the Master as he brings the word this evening. And Lord, bless Philip also as he ministers in song. And grant, O God, that everything, Lord, that he will be singing tonight will dovetail with the message that's being proclaimed. And we do pray, Lord, that thou will exalt thy name in this place. Pray, Lord, for the summer camp as it begins tomorrow. And Lord, we're thankful for the children who will be gathering, for boys and girls who will day by day be presented with a message of thy word. Lord, we're thankful that each morning, each evening, the word of God will be brought to their young hearts. And we pray, Lord, again that, Lord, this year that salvation, Lord, will come to the camp. Grant, O God, that thou will bless Joyce as she ministers the word. Lord, we will pray that thou would fill her with thy spirit and give her liberty as she presents the message of the gospel to the youngest of the children. And we just pray also for Kyle and Anna as they have responsibility of the oversight. Give them great wisdom and great understanding. We pray, Lord, for every worker, that thou will help them. O God, that thou will keep each and every one safe from danger seen and dangers unseen. Lord, that the protecting hand of the Lord will be upon them. And Lord, that there'll be no problems or no difficulties. And Lord, it will have the favour of God. O Lord, come and visit the camp, we pray. Present thyself with them. Grant, O God, even as, Lord, they spend time in the dorms, and Lord, as they do devotions with the children, Lord, that the Lord will come down. The Lord will be in the midst. And it'll be a very special time. Lord, we're thankful that thy presence makes the feast. And we pray, Lord, that thou will bless each and every one that's looking on this evening also. Perhaps there's some dear soul who is watching online who know not the Savior. We pray for them also. We pray, Lord, tonight for the youngest to the oldest, that they will hear the message clearly. And Lord, it'll be applied to their hearts this evening. Lord, we're not mindful, Lord, of our Brother Tom and his family, Lord, at the home calling of Jennifer. We do pray that you'll bless the family today, and you'll draw alongside for others who mourn at this time also. Thou knowest each individual need. Thou knowest each individual need in the gathering here. There'll be those who'll be carrying heavy burdens. There'll be those who'll be sorrowful. And Lord, there'll be those, Lord, who does not know even what the next moment brings. And we do pray, Lord, that Thou will speak and Thou will bless and minister to each one tonight. Lord, we're thankful while the word is primarily for those who know not Christ. We're thankful that the word is a blessing to us all. And Lord, the gospel, we're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So we just leave the service to Thee this evening. And we pray, Lord, that Thou indeed will come and pour out Thy Spirit, we pray, in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Derek. We are delighted as well tonight to have the Bowles family on holidays, but he's going to work for a change. We're glad to have him. Philip, Esther, Harry and George, good to see you. Harry, God bless you, and George. And we're going to ask Philip to come and sing for us just now. Thank you.
Good evening, Pastor Bowles.
It's really nice to be here tonight. The only reason I'm here tonight, Wilson said he would sing if he couldn't get anybody else. And I thought, I can't subject you to that. So I came along. I took a day off my holidays just to do that, to be here. But we were in the area. But anyway, I'm not here to warm you all up for the next act. I'm here to try and sing a little bit about my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to sing an old song. I'm going to move down here. I'm not used to being up on these high platforms. I'm going to move down here a little bit. And I'm just going to sing an old piece to start off with, Going Home.
Many times in my childhood we traveled so far. By nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, gently he'd say, "My child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me. To hold me here. is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Guilty prayer, bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the same and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean. From sky to sky, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. The saints and angels' song.
Thank you very much, Philip, for your message and song tonight. Appreciate you and your help. And may the Lord bless you and bless those messages to all of our hearts. Can I, at this stage, take this opportunity to welcome you all along this evening to our gospel meeting. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. To those who are visiting with us, we extend to you that special welcome. And we're glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. And also to those who are watching online as well. As a congregation, we want again to extend our sincerest Christian sympathies to our dear brother Tom Newbury on the homecalling on Monday afternoon of our dear sister Jennifer. Jennifer was called home after a relatively short illness on Monday afternoon, and was buried here from the church on Friday. And we want you to remember Tom and his family in your prayers at this time. Just looking back in the diary, and was exactly a year ago this Sunday that I first met Tom and Jennifer. They came back from holidays and they joined with us for those few Sundays while we were away. And what a joy it was to see them both saved, go on with the Lord, baptized, and yet it has pleased the Lord to take Jennifer home. And her seat in this church is empty, and her seat especially in her home is empty as well. And we want you to remember Tom and his family as they continue to grieve and mourn over the loss of a dear loved one. Now, I don't think we'll have the open air tonight. The showers are still passing, and so we'll not run the risk of anybody getting drenched in the rain, because there's enough people sick in the congregation without us adding to them, and so we'll leave the open air for tonight. So you know that summer camp starts tomorrow morning, 9:30, down in Delamont, and we want you to continue to remember the camp in your prayers. Pray the Lord will undertake and bless all the campers, the new campers who are with us this year, and pray that the Lord will undertake for them, and bless Kyle and Anna, that as they all their plans come together for this week, that the Lord will undertake for them and all the workers as they seek to labor and work amongst the young people. Pray for it every day, and pray most of all that little ones, young people, will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We do want to say a word of thanks to Kyle and to Anna and to all of the workers who this week will give up their time and come and spend that time with young people, and pray that the Lord will bless them in their labors for the Lord. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is our Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church, and our brother Adam will be speaking this Tuesday night, God willing. Saturday, that's the open-air gospel witness at the Sodomite Parade at 11 a.m. down outside the old bank building there at the junction of North Street and Waring Street. Bus will be leaving the church here at 11:15 if you want to go down on the church bus. But please do remember that and plan to attend and pray much for that open-air witness. Next Sunday, the Lord's Day services are as normal, 11:30 and 6:30. Both preceded by the half hour of prayer, and our brother Adam will be speaking at both of the meetings next Lord's Day. And God willing, weather permitting, we'll have an open air after the meeting next Sunday night. As we said this morning, we want you to remember one of our elders, our dear brother Alvin. Alvin Gregg, in your prayers. Alvin was diagnosed with prostate cancer this past week, and we'll be going shortly for treatment, so we want you to remember Alvin. Continue to remember to see your wife Margaret as well in your prayers, please. I want to thank you for your offering on Tuesday night past for the work of summer camp. That came to £785.50, and so thank you for your giving to the work of summer camp. Do you remember the meetings that are ahead of us in the will of the Lord towards the end of the summer? We have, of course, the camp starting this week. We also have a children's mission and a gospel mission in Redburn Community Centre over in Hollywood, where our Sunday school is held there each Lord's Day. That children's mission and gospel mission will be held at the end of August, and then we have another children's mission in the Oak Centre down in Clarewood at the start of September, and all of these are in preparation for the reopening of the Explorers Club and also our Sunday school. Remember these in your prayers, please. Also Sunday, the 11th of September, that is Adam's valedictory service before he starts Bible college. And so we want you to join with us for that service and seek to bring others as well. Our church dinner, Friday the 23rd of September, and we will get more details to you closer to that time. As we said this morning, we will be on holiday for the next number of weeks. So if there is an emergency in the congregation, by all means, please do make contact. Contact one of the elders, and that will be attended to. The offering boxes are available as you leave tonight. We're going to sing one that we sang last week. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. We're going to change the verses around a wee bit, and we're going to start off with probably what should have been verse 1 last week, but I put it as verse 2. But we're going to start off with that. There's four verses. I think we all know this one. As we said last week, this probably brings you back to your childhood days, Sunday school and youth fellowship days. We'll stand together as we sing this one, please. Thank you, Jill. I'm going to ask Philip to come and sing for us again, please. Thank you.
If I could share my heart just for one moment, I would tell you how much Jesus means to me, and the joy that overflows from the depths of my soul, just knowing that I have been redeemed. I don't deserve the mercy I've been given, that came with great expense on Calvary. When the weight of my sin was placed upon Him, as the Lamb of God laid down His life for me. My Savior paid, oh, the blood that He shed from the riches of His grace. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of the love of Jesus. that he went through to save my soul. To think the Father was pleased to punish him, yet pardon me. I owe my life to Christ and Christ alone. The price my Savior paid, oh, the blood that he shed from the riches of his grace. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of. For the cost of that old cross.
And surely that is a cost that we will never be able to measure the sight of eternity. It's not until we see the Savior face to face that our hands in those nail-scarred hands, we'll realize just how much it cost him to bear away our sin. Philip, thank you for your help tonight. We appreciate it. And pray the Lord will continue to bless him. Continue to remember the folks there in Kilray, and remember the work that God has called him and Esther and the boys to there in Kilray Baptist. They know much of the blessing of the Lord in the rest of this year that lies before. Thank you for being with us tonight. Genesis chapter 3, as we come to the Word of God tonight, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, this is perhaps one of the passages of Scripture that over the past almost 9 years that I've preached from more often than any other. And that is not, of course, without purpose, because there is so much in this one chapter. We have looked at various parts of this chapter in the past. We want to look tonight at the question that is asked in verse number 9. But before we come to the Word of God, let's read His Word this evening. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Amen. May the Lord Himself bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we seek for His help and His blessing upon the Word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee already for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for the sense of God the Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that we've been brought already to the cross. And, O God, it is our prayer this evening. Someone in this meeting, Lord, someone who has come in out of Christ, it is our prayer that tonight they'll come the way of the cross. Realize the tremendous cost, Lord, that was paid there. The awful debt for their sin that was satisfied there. And Lord, that tonight they might run to Christ and get to Christ. And Lord, that this night to be pleased to come and visit this house with salvation, we pray. O God, to this end we ask for the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We cry unto thee tonight, Lord, I need thee. Lord, vain is the help of man. O God, I pray tonight that you'll hide me far behind the cross. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch my lips with that live coal from off the altar. And Lord, that this night, in the preaching and in the hearing, that thy name would be honored, glorified. O God, we pray, come and meet with us tonight. Give, O God, we pray, help, Lord, that we need to hear the word of God. O God, we pray that tonight you'll bring someone to thyself. Lord, we pray for convicting power tonight. We pray, Lord, for the breath of God. We pray, Lord, for the wind of the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us. Lord, convict sinners of their sin and bring the lost to thyself. And so answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. The book of Genesis, of course, as you know, opens with a description of God's perfect creation, God's perfect world, a place of paradise, a place of peace, and a place of happiness and unparalleled beauty. Everything that God made, including man himself, was good. It was perfect. But as we come to Genesis chapter 3, we read about this event in the history of mankind, when the perfection into which man was created was suddenly taken away. As we read at the end of verse number 6, when Adam ate the fruit and sin entered into this world. Everything that has happened in this world to date can be traced back to the events that took place in Genesis chapter 3. Every wickedness, every evil, every sin of humanity can be traced back to Genesis 3 and 6. Traced to Adam and not to God. Because God is not the author of sin. And we must never charge God with being the author of sin. Why is the world today in the state that it's in? Why is there such sinfulness and such wickedness pervading across our world today? It is because of what happened in Genesis 3 and verse 6. Man fell into sin. And sin entered into this world. This chapter is important because it sets before us why we are in the state we're in. This chapter also sets before us a wonderful promise. In Genesis 3:15, we have that great first gospel promise, the proto-evangel. When God gave the promise of a Savior, the first evangelical message that was preached to humanity just after Adam fell in Genesis 3:15, the promise of the Savior. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Some years back, we looked at the doctrine of first things and saw how that everything can be traced back to what has happened and what took place in the record of the book of Genesis. Every doctrine, every teaching, every truth has its seedbed in Genesis. And tonight I want us to consider another one of those firsts. Because in Genesis 3 in the verse 9, we have the first question to the first sinner. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? We want, by the help of the Lord tonight in the gospel, to look very simply, very plainly, I trust, at this question. The first thing I want us to notice here is the circumstances that prompted it. What prompted God? What made God ask this question in Genesis 3:9? And where art thou? He realized that Adam knew he had sinned. That which Satan told him and Eve about in verse number 5, about the knowledge of good and evil, now was tragically fulfilled. Their innocence has been lost. Paradise has been marred. That perfection that God had created has now been marred by sin. Man has fallen out of fellowship with God, and sin has made him ashamed. Ashamed of what he did. In verse 7 we read, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Here is the consciousness of sin. Here is the truth that is borne out throughout the rest of Scripture, that man has a conscience that he is a sinner. Because right just at the same moment that Adam and Eve fell into sin, they are made aware that they are a sinner. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew. People will tell us today, what about those who will stand before the judgment seat of God who never heard the gospel? Genesis 3 in the verse 7 says that there is a conscience within every man, every woman. That if that conscience is not dealt with through the Lord Jesus Christ, will rise up to condemn those who never heard the gospel, because there is within each one of us a conscience tells us we are a sinner. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew. I dare say tonight, whether you're in this meeting saved or unsaved, you know tonight. You know tonight you're a sinner. You know tonight you're not right with God. How many times have you sat in a gospel meeting? How many times have you heard the gospel preached? And you know. And you know tonight you're a sinner. You know tonight you're lost. And as God looks into your heart, He sees a heart still stained with sin. And you know it. And it was in this state of knowledge of sin that Adam, or God, comes to Adam and says then, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" Why did God ask this question of Adam? Why did God come into that garden and ask this question to our first parents? Is He not all-knowing? Did He not know exactly where they were? But of course He did. You see, God doesn't ask questions in Scripture so that His knowledge might be increased. But God asked this question of Adam for a very specific purpose. What was it? It was for Adam to confess his sin before God. Adam, you know you're a sinner. Now confess your sin. Because there can never be conversion with sin without confession. This question had nothing to do with the geographical location of Adam, but rather it had to do with the spiritual condition of Adam. It concerned where he was spiritually. God wanted Adam there in the garden to be brought face to face with his sin. And oh, that tonight in this gospel meeting, by the Holy Spirit of God, you would be brought face to face with your sin. We have often prayed, and often prayed in the prayer meetings before the gospel service especially, that the gospel meeting would be the most uncomfortable meeting that a sinner might ever sit in. And I make no apology for praying that prayer. Because it's not until you're brought face to face with your sin and see your need of Christ will your problem of sin ever be dealt with. He wanted Adam to acknowledge that he was wrong. How did he get there? Yes, by sinning, but by refusing as well to subject himself to the will of God. Adam thought he knew better. Adam thought his plan was better than God's plan. Adam believed his way was better than God's way. And you know, tonight isn't that the case with you, sinner? You sit in this meeting tonight, unsaved. You believe that your way is better than God's way. How do I know that? Because you would have been saved long ago. If you had realized that the only way that your sin can be dealt with is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture of the sinner here in the life of Adam. You think tonight you don't need God. You think tonight you know better than God. You can do all right without Him. You can live all right without Him. Maybe you think tonight you can work your own way to heaven. You can work out your own salvation. You think you know better than God. You believe you don't need this new birth. And yet the Scriptures tell us that no man cometh unto the Father but by the Lord. And tonight in this gospel meeting, God comes into this meeting by His Holy Spirit and He asks you the question, where are you? In other words, how do you stand before God tonight? As you sit in this gospel service, how do you stand before Him? That's the only thing that matters. And God asks you this question that you might be brought face to face with your sin and might be brought to that place of confession. I'm a sinner. There's the circumstances that prompted this question. But notice something more here. There are the characteristics that distinguished it. The characteristics that distinguished this question, what were they? I suggest to you, first of all, that it was a powerful question. This was not man asking another question of another man. This was God being honest and open before Adam and speaking to the one He had just created. This was the all-powerful Almighty God of heaven speaking to Adam. And folks, whenever God speaks to you, you ought to listen. We see the power of this question in that it aroused the conscience of Adam. He tried, and Eve, they tried to hide from God, tried to run from God. Such was the power of this question. How many times tonight have you ran from God? How many times, sinner, have you run down that aisle out of this church and tried to get away from the influence of the gospel? How many times? And yet God comes to you tonight and asks again, where art thou? Oh, don't run from God tonight. Rather, run to Him. Get to Him tonight. It was powerful because it was intended to take Adam out of his sin, out of the depths of the sin and the depravity that he had just plunged himself into, and to awaken him to the danger that he was in. Where art thou? What a powerful question. And sinner, that you might awaken to the awful danger that you're in. that you might awaken out of the stupidity of your sinful condition of your heart and be brought to Jesus Christ. This was a powerful question because it was asked by God. Here was the Creator speaking to the creature. And sinner, you might not like my style of gospel preaching. It's simple, it's plain, I know that. And you might like, as I have heard people say, well, you make me uncomfortable. I don't like the plainness of your message. Listen, I'm not speaking tonight. This is God. God is saying to you tonight in your sin, where art thou? He's saying in love to your soul, awaken. Awaken out of your sleep of sin and get to Christ. It was a powerful question. It was a personal question. Notice verse 9 again. And the Lord God called unto Adam. We also see in verse 13, that the Lord God said unto the woman. This was addressed personally. You see, when God speaks, He speaks personally. Don't think tonight this message is for someone beside you, someone two rows in front of you, or three rows behind you. This is for you tonight. The Lord wants you personally to be brought face to face with your sin. Because salvation is personal. It's between you and God. You'll not answer before me. You'll not answer to the oversight of this church of what you've done with God. You will answer to Him. Salvation is very personal because every sinner needs to have that personal saving relationship with God. God comes tonight and calls you by name. He says, where art thou? You know, in that very act, we see the mercy of God. We see the kindness, we see the tenderness of God. Because remember, God is the one who has been sinned against. It is God's law that has just been broken. God would have had every right to turn His back on Adam and Eve and the rest of humanity and say, that's it. And leave this world in darkness for all time. But in mercy and in love, He spoke personally. And in mercy and love, He speaks personally to you tonight. It was powerful, it was personal, it was also pertinent. It was appropriate. It was the right question to ask. Maybe people have asked you questions, perhaps this day, perhaps the week that has passed. Questions that will perhaps be right and proper in their own sense. But things that probably don't really matter in the light of eternity. Because the only thing that matters tonight is how you stand before God. This was a pertinent question. It was the right question. It was a suitable question because it's the only question that needed really answered. He didn't come and have a conversation with him and say, well, look at the beauty of my creation. Isn't it wonderful? No, he got right to the point. The arrows of the Word of God are always pointed to us at the appropriate time. It was asked, and it needed an answer. Adam had to respond to how he was before God. He couldn't avoid it. Try as he did, as we see in our reading tonight, he tried to avoid this question. You may try to avoid the matter of your salvation. You might hope, well, in another few minutes we'll be over, I'll be home, and that'll be it for another Sunday. Do not get away from the all-seeing, all-knowing God of heaven. Where art thou? It concerns where you are with the Lord right now, and how you stand before Him right now. Because if right now, if God were to come and take breath from your body, then the question that is asked is where will you be? Job 14 and 10, part of the verse in Patichet we read on Friday at Jennifer's funeral, man dieth, yea, man giveth up the ghost, man wasteth away. Where is he? Where is he? Where would you be tonight, 5 minutes after you die? Where would you be in God's eternity? Where would you be when the time comes and your appointed lot in this earth comes to an end? Where would you be? Will you be with Christ for all eternity in heaven? Because of that moment in your life when you trusted Him? Or will you be in a lost eternity in hell because you rejected Him? Where will you be? Where will you be? As I went into Jennifer's room on Monday afternoon and saw her body lying there along with the family, yes, there were tears and there were sadness. Of course there was. But I knew that dear lady had departed, gone to be with Christ. Where would you be? If this week were to see your funeral, where would you be? Where would you be? It was a pertinent question because it was the only question that mattered. The circumstances, the characteristics, but finally we notice the comeback. What did Adam say in verse 10? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. As you read verse 10, you realize that Adam had actually no answer at all. He couldn't do anything or say anything to defend himself before God. He had no answer. He couldn't answer the question that had just been posed to him. He tried. But all he could say was, I was afraid. But it wasn't a holy fear that drove him to God. It was a mortal fear that drove him away from God. Then, verse 12, what does he do? He blames Eve, the woman which thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. He blames Eve. He blames God. He makes God an accessory to his crime. And he blames God for giving him Eve and putting temptation in his way. He blames everybody but himself. He points the finger at everybody else, but not himself. They're all wrong, but not me. You see, that's what sin does. It dulls our senses. It dims our spiritual light when we're confronted with sin. We try to cover it up. How many times have you tried to cover your sin? Here was the seeking voice of God searching out sinner, and calling in love and mercy to him. And all Adam could do and all Adam could say was, I was afraid. I was afraid. The Lord tonight in this meeting, as we bring this gospel service to a close, the Lord is seeking you out. And the Lord is moving from heart to heart and seat to seat in this meeting. And he's searching for you, sinner. Just as he came searching for Adam, the first sinner, so he comes searching for you tonight, the sinner. Stop fooling yourself thinking it'll be all right. Stop blaming others for keeping you back from God. You need to realize tonight this is a matter between you and Him and no one else. You'll not be able to blame anybody else in the day of judgment as to why you will stand before Him as a sinner. Where art thou tonight? Yes, geographically, you're in Sandown Road Free Presbyterian Church. But spiritually tonight, if you're in this meeting without the Savior, do you know where you are? You're under the wrath. You're under the condemnation of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're kindled fit for the flames of hell, ready to fall into it at any second. And only the mercy of God has kept you from it until this time. And God tonight comes. He searches out your heart and He speaks to you. And if He's causing those pangs of conviction tonight, don't run from Him. But get to Him tonight. Get to Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you from your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin. Come tonight the way of the cross. What was the message of the Savior? What is the first gospel message He ever preached? Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ. That's the same message. What was the message that was given to the Philippian jailer when he asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank God tonight, the message is still the same. Simply, plainly, you can turn to Jesus Christ tonight. He's calling, He's speaking. I wonder tonight, will you get to Him? Will you come tonight to the cross? Will you come to that place of forgiveness, of peace, and of pardon? Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting tonight, the Lord comes into this meeting and He asks you, where art thou? In other words, where are you spiritually tonight? How do you stand before Him? If tonight finds you out of Christ without hope, is it not time you got to Christ? Is it not time you were saved? How often have you ran from Him? How often have you disobeyed and rejected the call of God? How often have you denied the convicting pangs of the Spirit of God taking a dealing with you? What an awful thing it would be if you were to hear the voice of God tonight and that be His last time to speak to you. What an awful thing it would be to go into hell knowing of your need to be saved, having rejected the Savior. Don't reject Him tonight, receive Him. Come by faith and trust Him. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that You would be pleased to bless Thy word. Lord, we ask, O God, for the help of the Spirit. Lord, to apply the Word of God, the Gospel, to hearts. Save in this meeting. Oh God, we pray that tonight that sinners will hear the call of God and they'll receive the grace of God and salvation. Do it, we pray. For thy glory and honor alone, we ask these things. Amen.